photography lovers. It's so nice to be here with you again. It's been a while, right? I really hope that you're doing great. And I'm also hoping that you're eager to learn more because we've prepped for you some podcasts and we're ready to pack you with knowledge. And I know that the situation with the virus and the current protesting is not ideal. Yeah, we know that. And as much as we support the cause for all of us to be healthy and treated with the same respect, we also know that this is the time to become the best version of yourself. So we decided to do this together, just like everything else we've done so far. In case you have missed our last episode, let me do a quick recap for you. We love the podcast, and of course we're keeping it. We're going nowhere. Don't worry about it. But sometimes it's hard to make sure that you are also well on the other end because it's a record. So with the beginning of the pandemic, we decided that we deserve to spend some more quality and real time together. And we started with some live sessions. That's right. The whole effort actually gave birth to a whole new branch of the podcast that's called The Creative Process. This new branch lives in the YouTube land. Let's call it like that. And there, we talk to different people about their projects and they're giving us the chance to peek behind the scenes of their specific shoots. So basically, I'm saying that you should go check the Fashion Photography Podcast on YouTube because there is some extra content for you. It's again linked in the show notes, but basically all you have to do is to just type down the Fashion Photography Podcast in the YouTube search. And it's important for you to do that because during the last live session, we also announced that there is a portfolio review coming. Yeah, and it's going to be free, just as usual, but of course, there are limited spots, so keep that in mind. And how to submit your work, you're going to ask? Of course, I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to do this at the end of the episode because I'm sure you also want to know what today is about. So today, we've got two guests, so we'll be able to hear how this team was formed and what makes a good photographer-stylist relationship. Today, we talk about sustainable photo shoots because our guest today managed to prep and execute a whole photo shoot like that, and it wasn't easy, but they're going to transfer this knowledge to you so that you can do it the next time. So sustainable photo shoots, and of course there are also some other very cool things that you can find out from the podcast, but I'm going to keep it short because it's been already quite a long intro, but we just missed you guys, and we wanted to spend some time just with you and catch up. But let's start with the podcast now.
Hello, I'm Molly Rose. I'm a photographer and director specializing in the advertising and celebrity industry. I'm based in London, and I've been doing this for about 4 or 5 years full time now.
Hello, I'm Sam Carter. I'm a fashion stylist and brand consultant based in London, and I've been working in the industry for around 8 years.
That's awesome. So 4 and 5 compared to 8. Okay, that's interesting. Tell me, guys.
You sound old.
Not necessarily. Okay, tell me, guys, how did you two met?
We first met when I was fashion editor at Shortlist magazine. And we had a cover where we were shooting Matty Healy from 1975. And I saw Molly's work and became really obsessed with her punchy colour and just everything about her work. So I contacted her directly. And yeah, we shot Matty Healy for the cover of Shortlist in, I think it was November 2018.
And
we met on that shoot and we instantly hit it off in terms of creatively, not romantically.
just to clarify.
Yeah.
That was a good clarification, actually, because most of the double guests we've had it so far, they're usually couples. So that was good to say.
We're a creative couple.
Yeah.
Okay. And tell me, what was the thing that made you feel like you're clicking together? Because many of the people in our audience today are trying to figure out and find the right team. So they're trying with very different people. Not each and every time is working very well. So maybe at one point, I believe they're considering the fact that maybe they should do some sort of an effort and try to close their eyes for some stuff. Do you think that's true? When we work with somebody else, we should do some steps back when they do something that we don't truly think it's right, or everything should be just great. What are we supposed to look for when we look for our best buddy in the industry?
For me, it would be communication and to be open and honest with that person. I've worked with a lot of different photographers and different brands and different things like that. And I think having clear communication and a clear set goal and what we want to achieve is primarily first. And then I think everything just falls into place.
Yeah, I would say to add to that, just personality in general. I think you can love someone's work so much online, and then it's only when you really meet, I think you really know if you're going to get on, and it will either go one way or the other, I think, really. Yeah, we just got on really well. We made each other feel really comfortable. And then it's when we started then exploring ideas and talking. We didn't have long at all on that shoot, did we? And it was all done in, I don't know, 2 hours, like five looks. We just started bouncing ideas off each other quickly, and we both just became quite excited looking at each other and just kind of coming up with these ideas. And every idea that I had, Sam was like, yeah, I was thinking that, and vice versa, really. And even like with styling, I'd be like, what about this? And you were like, yeah, that's what I was going to do. And I think that sounds so simple within our industry, but it's actually can be pretty difficult to find. There's a lot of clashing sometimes, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always tricky to sort, especially when you first meet someone and you're on set, and especially it was quite a high profile shoot with Matty Healy. So it was like we had to get shots of the cover. And I think being able to just sort of, it was a really chilled shoot, actually. It wasn't stressful at all. And I think from that, I walked away and was like, I need to work with her again. And I just instantly knew that I could send her an idea or have a conversation with her about something like not related to maybe what we were doing, and we would just bounce ideas off each other already. It was quite a weird, not weird is the wrong word, but it was quite an interesting, special relationship.
We do sound like we're in a romantic couple.
Okay, I can hear that this relationship is still going on there.
Oh yeah, it's a year and a half strong.
We're past the honeymoon phase. Yeah. We've made it.
And we're still smiling, so it's good, I think.
Awesome, guys. I'm so very happy for you.
Thank you.
But then we did quite quickly work together on a few other shoots, all for shortlist, didn't we?
Yeah. So a few weeks after the Matty Healy shoot, I was working on a sustainable feature for Shortlist magazine. And the only person I knew that would understand it, get it, and be able to shoot it in the way that it deserved to be shot was Molly. And so I approached her straight away. Maybe it was a bit, I was like, I need you to do it, and it's only you can do it. We obviously then shot about 3 or 4 weeks after Matty Healy, and then that's when we sort of realized that we both really were into and wanted to talk about in our work it's sustainability in a grand scheme of things. I mean, it covers so much stuff, but I think from bouncing ideas before the shoot and going through and actually working together on a sustainable fashion shoot, we then realized that we need to talk about this more.
We spent that whole shoot, apart from actually doing some work, talking about sustainability and everything that we'd learned so far. You were telling me all sorts about the fashion industry. I think the Vivienne Westwood map had just come out as well, and we were talking about that, and we just passionately didn't stop talking about it for a while. I already had an idea with a friend who's a producer going on separately to do with sustainability. So it was amazing how that all kind of came together so quickly, that then Sam invited me onto the shoot that I was so passionate about, and then how much we both learned from each other in those couple of hours.
I love that.
It's fab, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, it sounds like this is like a fairy tale. So let's interrupt it a little before diving deep into your most recent activities. Tell me, what was the most stressful photo shoot you've had together? Because you said that the very first one was super chill. Tell me about a stressful photo shoot that you had together, because I think the difficult moments are the ones that can actually show us whether we are a good team or there is something lacking. So if you had a moment like this when you truly felt like you can definitely rely to that person, I think that would be a great story to hear.
I'm going to put it out there and say we've never had a stressful shoot.
No, we haven't, have we? No, I don't think so. Though we've had, like...
No, I'm gonna obviously there's been moments in certain shoots where there's always like I wouldn't even call it a stress, it's a good stress sometimes where we've got to get these shots done, but like how I work and how Molly works, we don't bring stress or ego into the shoot.
And yeah, I just think I love that.
There are obviously difficulties with every shoot, like even the shoot with Matty Healy, the styling and makeup area was what 5-10 minute walk away from where we were shooting, and we'd have to go back and forth, and then as I already said, we had two hours to do 5 looks, so within that time obviously the actual shoot time was we had a couple of minutes with him per look. It's very kind of quick and there's a lot of adrenaline, but I didn't find it stressful, and maybe that is just because again it's the natures of it definitely can be stressful with other people, but I guess when you're with the right people, you do just, as you say, it's like a good energy, isn't it? It's a good stress. And you just bounce off each other and you kind of work your hardest when you're like, what do they say? Nothing focuses the mind like the last minute.
Seems to flow. I think that's when I know when I'm on the right team or I'm working with the right people. And I think Molly would say the same. It just flows and works.
If you haven't found that, I think it's just to keep shooting with as many people as possible, and we still both do, don't we? We don't just shoot with each other whatsoever, and I think that's really, really important to not keep your eggs all in one basket and constantly be meeting and working with new creatives, because you just can like branch out your network like that. But if you're feeling like every shoot is a bit stressful, it might not be you, it might be you it might be the people that you're surrounding yourselves with, and actually branching out a little bit more might be a good thing for you.
We now know, guys, that you're not together as a couple, but I've been wondering, do you get jealous from one another when the other one is shooting with a different photographer or using a different stylist?
I don't think we work with each other enough to get jealous like that. I think that's really important. Like there have been times in the past when I was just starting out that those sort of feelings would come, but I think it's not a jealousy. It would be like oh my God, that was such a great shoot. Like I would have loved to have done that. But we both know how important it is to constantly be working with other people and like recommending each other different people and different makeup artists and hairstylists, etc.
Yeah, I think it's about creating your network around you. And I think it's important to like push each other. And we work together creatively on things, but also I think we're good friends and we talk about our shoots and what we're doing and are very open and honest. Like I said before, I think that's really important with each other.
I think we can do like a dictionary of the podcast, because there are several words that we repeat over and over again. And one of my favorite words is exactly networking. Because I think it's very important to network in this industry, but not many people know how to do it. And you said already many times that it is important to work also with other people, but how to find them? Let's try and help the people in the audience that are trying to figure out how to network.
I would say, firstly, being generally nice. and that sounds really obvious, but I think I use the word open maybe too much, but I think being open to situations and going for, if something arises, it's come up for a reason. And that sounds really maybe cliche, but I think it's important to follow. If something comes up and you're not sure, I think just try it and go and meet that person. Or if you don't know what that person can sort of bring into that meeting. And I think it's just about being open and generally quite nice and just wanting to sort of learn from other people. I think that's the most important thing. And I think if you think that you've learned everything, then you're doing it all wrong. Like I learn something every day about the industry. I'm continually learning and I'm never going to stop learning. And I think you only learn from working with other people and meeting other people.
Yeah, add on to that as well, just being a yes man basically is what you've said. And like I think that there are lots of times when they may find, obviously you find people through Instagram, that's how people might find you, that's how you might find other people. Same with different sort of groups on Facebook, recommended through like friends of friends or just word of mouth. But people may find you through that and sort of say like a makeup artist pitches an idea for a beauty shoot to a photographer, mm-hmm. And you see it and you think, oh, I don't know, like it's nice, but it's not really, I'm not sure I completely want to do that. I mean, there are elements of it I like. And I think instead of just shutting it down and going, no, I'm not sure. I mean, A, how can we make this a little bit more balanced and bring your kind of style into it a little bit more and collaborate? But also, if you've done one shoot with that makeup artist, then you can go back to the makeup artist and ask them for a shoot with your vision and build on that process. And then that you might meet a new hairstylist through that shoot. And then your network just starts branching out and branching out. I think just saying yes to things, even when they're not ideal, and maybe you hate it and maybe you won't share it, but I think you won't know unless you try, really.
And I'd also add, just always go for drinks or breakfast or meeting, like just go, and
absolutely,
and especially for the drink, because that's when you always get,
yeah, absolutely,
good chat.
Always be free after a shoot and suggest drinks at some point. Oh, yeah. I want a gin and tonic.
I love these drinks, actually. That's so cool.
It's so true, because it's just how you then build friendships. So much of this industry is actually just chucking each other favours and helping mm-hmm. each other out. And you're going to get that if you're nice and if you're also kind of giving that back. So like buying a round of drinks after a shoot and wanting to get to know those people rather than on just a work level, I think is really, really important.
I think you're so chill about it simply because you're part of the industry. But if you are coming to the industry, it can be a little bit difficult, you know, to arrange this meeting. Not everybody, I believe, knows what to do during these meetings. So do you want to do like a little role play? Because I love doing this in the podcast. So if you're up for this, are you up for this, guys? I'm going to be awesome. So
okay.
I'm going to be, let's say, a makeup artist, because it's going to be too many photographers otherwise, and it's going to be awkward. So this time I'm going to switch my real role and I'm going to go for a makeup artist. I will reach out to Molly, because that's what usually makeup artist does, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm reaching out to Molly and I'm like, hey, Molly, I love your work, because that's what everybody says on their first initial reach out, right? So I love your work and I would love to collaborate with you one day. I'm in London in between, let's say, for a week, next week, because it's so awkward and I have to do it just next week. Would you mind to shoot something together? Because I'm going to go for shooting straight away because I have 1 week in London, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's say it's a DM on Instagram. And of course, Molly, it's your turn to respond. But don't forget that we need Sam. You might not want to go straight to the photo shoot. You might want to first meet me. Just do whatever you would do in like a normal living situation. Not a living situation, but an Instagram situation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so if I had time, if I was free that week, and yeah, if I liked the makeup artist's work, if I could see that some of her work would kind of fit in with my work, and you kind of see those initial
spark,
great word. I'd maybe have a look through her feed and pick out a couple of the looks that she'd already done, which I quite liked, see if there was something that I hadn't tried before that I liked the look of, and come back to her and say, or him, her or him.
Oh, me,
say,
that's me, Molly.
Oh, you, okay, so Pat.
I know my gender, I'm a girl.
And say, absolutely, like, I'd love to work with you too. I really like this that you've done and this that you've done. Send her a few things and say, would you be up for putting a mood board together or a couple of photos together of different ideas we could try around the work that you've done before and the ones that I like. If you bring that to me, then I'll have a look through and then I'll show you a couple of different lighting setups and options. I'll speak to a couple of friends who are stylists, and we can maybe say the makeup is nice and colourful. We can look to sort of match that or contrast that with the styling. And yeah, and go from there, I think, really. I think a lot of it is nice to have be sent mood boards and then respond with another mood board. And then from there, kind of come up with your ideas and your sort of final mood board, completely collaborating.
I love that. Sam, I just thought that she's going to lift you out and she plugged
you in. No, I feel left out.
Which is...
which what were we talking about, jealousy? No, you had it.
That was me, sorry. Okay, and what if you felt like we need to meet somewhere? Let's see this type of scenario for the people that a meeting before the photo shoot and try to help out the people because Sam felt like he's left out. Let's say that we already know how amazing he is and we want to shoot with him. So you guys are coming together on the day of our meeting before the potential photo shoot. Yeah. And what I would feel now, if I was in this situation, I would definitely feel like you're teaming up. Because I'm living outside of London. I don't have many acquaintances there. So you're together and I feel a little bit vulnerable, you know? So tell me, what would we do on the day of this meeting? This is, by the way, something so interesting for me because we've done all kinds of role plays, nothing sexual here, but but never something like this. And I love it. And to not make it sexual this time, please.
So just to clarify, where we would meet and that sort of thing, that's what you want.
Yeah, and what type of conversation are we going to have? If I'm this makeup artist, what do you expect me to say?
It would just be like a normal, so we'd, firstly, I would suggest, if it's in, it would be in the day, so I would suggest meeting for a coffee. I think coffees are always great because there's no pressure of like a time limit of like having a lunch or having a dinner or having a breakfast, especially when you don't know the person as well. I think that's a lot more, it's a lot easier. So just recommend like maybe a few coffee spots that are good, and just meet for maybe like 20 minutes, half an hour. I think that's usually quite, it just depends obviously on people's schedules and things like that, but I'd expect, yeah, 20 minutes, half an hour would be a good amount of time to have a coffee, chat about, obviously, I think with meetings, I always find it's just nice to find out about the person first. So just generally ask questions about how their day's going, what they've been up to, and then that can lead on to like what work you've been up to and what you want to be doing, where are you shooting for, like what publications you're working with and what brands, and you can start to build up an idea of whether you're going to be able to be compatible to work together or not in that way, and also find out like where you potentially want to shoot for, and it's always good to just know about the connections that like the photographer or the stylist and the makeup artist has, and that always helps because then you can figure out a plan of, right, we can target this publication because we both know a link there, or I know a link here so we can get that, and then that's where then you can sort of start talking about the ideas, and then that's, it's just sort of flows really. I don't ever go to a meeting now, maybe I did at the start when I first started in the industry, don't ever really go to a meeting with like set questions. I mean, maybe it's good to have a couple, but I think it's just really about just meeting the person and see if you're going to get on firstly, rather than trying to go in and be like, right, we're going to have a 16-page editorial in Harper's Bazaar and we're going to shoot this model and we're going to do this and this and this. I think that's too rigid, and also it's not real, and I only want to work with real and just not the nice people.
Yeah. Just chatting rubbish, I think, amongst all of that as well. Just,
yeah.
I think the best way to make someone that's feeling a bit uncomfortable or is quite new, I mean, even with people that I'm photographing, if they're not used to being photographed, I just go up to them and I don't have a clue what I say to them, and it's probably absolute rubbish. But it just makes people relax if you're kind of, I don't know, acting like a little bit of a goon. Not too much of a goon, but just a nice amount, like just a friendly, very approachable. If you're making yourself like that and you're not acting superior and you're as we said before, just no egos, amongst obviously talking about what they want to do work-wise and all of that, I think just getting to know someone on that level by just talking rubbish. I can't really think of any examples on the spot because it is literally rubbish.
I really love what you're saying because it feels to me like the industry is really changing. Like people really want to work with other genuine people, good people, as you said, without egos and anything, which I love because I'm a little bit tired of all of the profanity, you know? So yeah, to me, that's a really, really good change because the final goal of the whole process is different, I think.
Yeah. And I think, do you know, like the best shoots I've ever done are working with friends. And actually, and not just friends, but people that I actually generally get on with. And I think you can always tell, and I've looked back at shoots that I've done before and I'm like, oh God, I hate that, or I hate this. And or that was stressful, that wasn't. But always the best results I find is when I leave a shoot and I just feel mentally drained, but in a good way, because I know that I've used everything that I needed to use, and that is always with people that I really respect, care about, and love. Yeah, we could be friends or we might not be friends, but like, it's always people that I've always had a good relationship with when I've met them and we started off that journey together.
I think as well, if deciding whether to go to uni or not is quite an interesting one. And I did go to uni, but I think the main sort of the best thing I got out of going to uni was the people that I met. And you, at that point, I mean, for me anyway, I didn't even really consider, I went to the Arts Uni in Bournemouth, which obviously is a very, very good uni for arts, but it also just happened to be very close to where my parents lived. And I wasn't really thinking strategically in terms of unis and how some people do about who they'll meet and what that will give them in the future. To be honest, I actually only learned that a couple of years ago and was quite mind blown about how, like, how much thought can go into this. But I was just looking at it in terms of, you have all these friends at uni and you go out and you have a lot of fun and you, there's a lot of bonding that goes on, obviously, like living with people and whatever. So you then create these really solid friendships, but you have to remember that everyone is in your industry. And although I did a photography course, and a lot of people haven't gone into photography, but they have gone into production or creative direction or studio assisting and all the different kind of branches off of the photography industry. And some of them are now my clients, or some of them I call on favors for, others call on favors for me. And you've suddenly got this network there from university that it really, really helps you. And that is, as Sam said, there's strong friendships that have that go back now, and you continue to build on them as time goes on. And it's something that you just really didn't even consider, wasn't premeditated when you went.
I would also add to that, and my journey into fashion is a little bit different, but I would say that it does also doesn't matter for people that are like listening or whatever to the podcast, is that even if you're not, if you're not come from a creative background in terms of not studied it, it's totally fine and you can make your any dream happen. I actually studied, I've got my master's in forensic psychology. So I was actually working in a prison before I was in fashion, and I took a leap of faith and started assisting a stylist called Andrew Davis. And from there, I quit the job that I was in working in the prison, and 8 years now down the line, I've been fashion editor at 2 magazines and just been signed to an agency. So if you put your mind to it and hard work, and obviously you have passion for what you do, then I think it doesn't matter. It sidelines that. So just a side note, because you don't have to come from a creative background to make your dream happen.
Absolutely.
This is so amazing. I did not expect you to say that you have ever been to prison.
I've been to prison to work, not being in prison. Just to clarify that one too. Thanks.
Yes, that is important.
Well, it is in prison, not behind us.
That is so awesome. We've had people from all kinds of backgrounds actually here in the show, but never someone working in a prison. And I think this is so amazing. And your example is so cool, because literally everyone can get to the industry. But what get from this conversation so far is that the industry is changing in a direction where we seek comfort, but in a good way, not like that we want to stay in our comfort zones. But you know what? The other day I had a conversation with a person from an advertising agency, and she told me that she's looking at all of these new people coming to the industry, and they cannot even spend a whole stressful day at the office, and that they are just resigning from their jobs because they cannot keep up with the stress. And I thought, maybe it's not because they cannot keep up with the stress. Maybe it's because they just don't want to stress about meaningless things that will not matter in a month. And that's what I see in our industry today. And to be honest with you, I love it, because we have this period. I mean, not you and I, but the industry had this period where everybody was just trying to diminish themselves. They were not thinking about their bodies. They were not thinking about how much time they work and how much time they spend sleeping, let's say, which is really affecting our health, right? So nobody at one point, nobody thought about these things, and it just, everything crashed. Thinking back on the sex scandals just a few years ago, thinking about all these little moments that we see that are trendy for a month or two or half a year. But the truth is, in order to receive those kinds of flowers, the seeds were rubbish years and years before that.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting about the industry and the problems that have been occurring within the industry. Is that one way of feeling like we're helping them or getting through them is by coming together as a collective, like the Me Too movement, and I mean everything really, even just what we've been saying about having friends in the industry and coming, like, leaning on each other for support and treating our work as a collective and bouncing off of each other and leaning on each other for support, rather than kind of just, it's just you alone, it's everyone in it for themselves, and it's one person that wants to get to the top kind of thing. And it's not like a me thing anymore. I think it's a lot more of an us.
Yeah, and I think that I think it's important. I think don't go into anything where you're, it's all about me and this is what I'm going to get from it, and this is what I need, and it's actually about you together. And I think that's really important, because, like, I can't do my job without the photographer, Molly, and I can't do my job without the hair and makeup, because that's just as important as what I do as a stylist. And if we're all on an equal par, we all step up and we code the shoots, we all do it together. It's not just about one person's better or bigger than the other. And I think if you have that mentality, then you're not going to last long.
Definitely. It's an old school mentality, isn't it?
No. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It feels like we are all growing up. It's weird. Right. Yeah. And I do agree with you that nowadays we are thinking more about the team, but we're also kind of appreciating ourselves better. It's like we're learning how to treat ourselves better. And because we know how important this is, we also kind of learn how important the person next to us is. For example, yesterday, I had a conversation with my makeup artist, and we were talking about a client that we really, really, really want to have in our portfolio, because it's a huge client and it's going to be amazing if we were together. But the whole preparation part is a big pain in whatever the part of your body you prefer. So, yeah, it turns out it's very, very difficult, and they're fighting for some small, really small things that doesn't really matter that much. And I feel like it's all about the money. It's less about what I can provide. So I was talking to my makeup artist and I just told her, you know what? I'm not touching my prices, because that's what I'm worth. And I'm not going to move any part of my body on the day of the photo shoot if I don't feel like this is going to help me learn something new. So it's not about the money for me, but if it is for them, I don't need that client. I don't care that it's a big name in my portfolio. If I don't enjoy the process, I don't need that. Of course, I'm right now in a moment when I can say that, because I can pick my clients, and I know that not everybody can do it. But I think even if the person who is listening to the podcast now thinks that they are in a really bad place when they need the money right now, and that's okay. I mean, everybody can understand that you're in a financial need, but you're soon going to get out of this situation. And that is the moment when you can say, well, I don't need to spend my time and nerves on something that is not worth it. And I don't mean money again.
Yeah. I'd say, obviously, if you're at the stage you're starting out, I think you're going to come across experiences where you're not going to like or not going to love, but you need to go through those experiences to learn from that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, me and Molly both would say that I'm sure that I've done countless jobs and shoots and whatever where it's been so painful and so not my vibe and so not what I want to do. But
we've all done it.
Yeah, we all have to do it. We've all done it, and we will do it as well, like carry on doing it. Like, just there's certain things that you have to do in the career, and you're not going to get around that, i.e. you have to pay rent and you've got to do all these different things that to do it. But now, I don't know, I'm in more of a position, like you just said, where to my agent, if something's come through and I'm not really up for it or I'm not really sure about it, I'll be honest and open with my agent and say I'm not really sure, and we'll have a discussion that way rather than it just be shut it down or say yes straight away, I think. And obviously that's different, because it's been an industry for a few years, but I think just be prepared for those experiences, and it's how you deal with them, and the ultimate thing is what you learn from those shared experiences, and you take that on to the next thing, and you know that next time maybe you wouldn't do certain things differently, or you can act and change your behavior. And it's just about working with people and yeah, learning from each thing that you do.
And reminding yourself that then, yes, it is like this right now and you're having to do these things and go through these painful things. But as Sam just said, then you do get to a place where you can start picking and choosing. And you just said, well, that's because I've been in the industry a few years. But that's exactly the point, as you will then get, you'll have to work through it, but then you will get to a place where then you can pick and choose a lot more. And that's kind of what you've earned to do.
And can you imagine a world where we're all picking just the clients that are good, like genuine people? No, seriously, I think that's a great way to educate the client. And I'm not saying that the client necessarily needs this, but there are some clients that do need it.
Absolutely, there are.
So I think if we all do that, sooner or later, we're going to be in a different, probably later, but we're going to be in a different environment, which is so important because we are not going to last very long, right?
Right.
So better be in a good environment. That's what I think. I mean, I'm not even 30 yet, but I'm starting to think about it more and more, how much I want to live in a more sustainable world, a place that I like, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So
same.
Yeah, right?
Me too.
I really hope that you like this episode. And I'm really, really happy that we get the chance to be together again. It's just so nice to be here with you. And I also really, really hope that I get the chance to see your gorgeous images next Monday, when we're doing the Life Portfolio Review. And of course, I promise to tell you how to submit your images. So there is just one thing that you have to do in order to submit your images, and that is to be part of our newsletter. And that's all. There is a button on photographypodcast.net if you want to join our newsletter, in case you haven't done it so far. And if you subscribe to the newsletter before Friday, you will receive a step-by-step guide on how to submit your images. And on Monday, we'll do the live review. And of course, do not hesitate to subscribe to the newsletter even after Friday, because this way you'll get the chance to be a part of the next portfolio review. Again, spots are limited, so keep that in mind. And thank you guys so much for being with us today. And I cannot wait to share with you part 2 of the interview that you listened today next Wednesday.